morning, everybody. It is such an honor to be with you here today. We all literally walked in and we're just like, we love it here. This is so great. Thank you so much for that. It's so cool to see so many of you have seen Coney 2012 and just maybe been a part of this with us. My name is Tessa, and I'm here with my team, Shay, Agnes, Kevo, and Laura, and we're all full-time volunteers for Invisible Children, which is the group that started Coney 2012 and has been dedicated to bringing a permanent end to this senseless violence and injustice in humanity that's going on in Central Africa because of the man, Joseph Kony, and his rebel group, the Lord's Resistance Army. Now, we're going to show you Coney 2012 for some of you again. And what you might not know is that this came out online March 5th, and we had a goal of 500,000 people seeing it by the end of 2012. And by now, it has over 100 million views online, which has completely exceeded any expectations we could have possibly hoped for. But we're so excited to see so many people around the world coming together for this one cause. And we truly believe that because of that, this can really end in 2012. After the film, you're going to get to hear from Agnes. She's our teammate who's come all the way from northern Uganda to share her story with you. And northern Uganda is where all of this started, where the LRA began. But since they have moved out of Uganda into the Central African Republic, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and South Sudan, but they're still committing those same atrocities. And that's why Agnes is here, to speak on behalf of those people that are going through the same things that she went through back in her home country. So it is such a privilege for us to be on a team with her, and I'm so glad you guys get to hear from her today. After that, we'll be able to answer questions you might have and give you some ways that you can get involved. So keep your questions in mind. Before we can get to that, here's the video which has been said to be the most viral video in social change, Coney 2012.
Right now, there are more people on Facebook than there were on the planet 200 years ago. Humanity's greatest desire is to belong and connect. And now we see each other. We hear each other.
Grandpa, I love you.
I love you.
Why won't I take a picture?
We share what we love, and it reminds us what we all have in common.
Dug out alive and well after 7.5 days.
If you believe in yourself, you will know how to ride a bike. Rock and roll!
So now technically your device is on. Can you tell? Oh, that's exciting!
And this connection is changing the way the world works. Governments are trying to keep up.
And now we can't test the freedom.
And older generations are concerned.
Many people are very concerned about tomorrow.
They could get worse next year.
The game has new rules. The next 27 minutes are an experiment. But in order for it to work, you have to pay attention. Every single person in the world started this way. He didn't choose where or when he was born. But because he's here, he matters.
Yeah, we've been waiting for you. You made it.
My name is Jason Russell, and this is my son, Gavin. He loves jumping on the trampoline being a ninja, and dancing.
What are you doing?
Big and slow angel.
How do you do that?
You do this.
And just like his dad, he likes being in movies.
Action.
Look out! Look out, people! Ah! It's a boss!
And making movies.
Daddy, watch this. You got the video.
But he was born into a pretty complicated world. And as a dad, I want him to grow up in a better world than I did. And because of the course of events in my life, I see a way to get there. It has become my job.
Who are you to end a war? I'm here to tell you, who are you not to?
Hey, Gavin, what's up?
Years before Gavin was born, the course of my life was changed entirely by another boy.
And who's this right here?
Jacob.
Who's Jacob?
Jacob is our friend in Africa.
It's been almost 10 years since Jacob and I became friends.
It's okay, they're nice. These are different than sharks.
But when my friends and I first met him in Uganda, in Central Africa, it was in very different circumstances. He was running for his life.
You go to school here?
Yes.
Yes, that's how you know English so well.
I know.
Yeah. How many nights have you stayed here?
Hello. You are making our work very, very difficult. You stop that now.
The night I first met Jacob, he told me what he and other children in northern Uganda were living through.
We were the rebels. When they raise us again, then they will kill us. My brother tried to escape. Then they killed using panga. They cut his neck.
Did you see it?
I saw.
We fear that if we sleep at our home, we can be abducted by the rebels. Because our home is far away from town.
They will catch us, then they will take us there in the bush. So come here to save our life.
Years. If that happened one night in America, it would be on the cover of Newsweek.
What is it that you want to be when you grow up?
For me, I wanted to be a lawyer, but no money. I don't have money to pay my school fees so that I learned and then I be a lawyer.
After spending a few weeks with Jacob, he told me something I would never forget.
So it is better when you kill us. And if possible, you can kill us, you kill us. For us, we don't want now to stay. Because
you don't want to stay on Earth.
We are only two, no one taking care of us. We are not going to school. So
you would rather die than stay on Earth?
Yes.
Now, even now?
Even now. How are we going to stay in our future? You
see? He told me more about his brother and what he would say to him if he were still alive.
I love you, but now I miss you. So it is better when we meet. We are going, even if we are not going to meet, but we may meet in heaven, you see. So it is better. I will not talk much. I will start something. Because if I see my brother once again, I don't.
Everything in my heart told me to do something. And so I made him a promise.
And we are also going to do everything that we can to stop them.
Yes.
Do you hear my words?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
We are. We're going to stop them. We're going to stop them.
I made that promise to Jacob, not knowing what it would mean. But now I do. Over the past 9 years, I have fought to fulfill it. And the fight has led me here, to this movie you're watching. Because that promise is not just about Jacob, or me. It's also about you. And this year, 2012, is the year that we can finally fulfill it. And if we succeed, we change the course of human history. But time is running out. To level with you, this movie expires on December 31st, 2012. And its only purpose is to stop the rebel group, the LRA, and their leader, Joseph Kony. And I'm about to tell you exactly how we're going to do it. So the thing is, my son Gavin has never, I've never really explained to him what I do. He knows I work in Africa, but he doesn't know what the war's about or who Joseph Kony is. So I'm going to explain it to him for the first time today. That's what we're doing. So Gav, are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
And you can just look at me and ask and answer the questions to me.
I'm kind of nervous.
What do I do for a job?
I stop the bad guys from being mean.
Who are the bad guys? Do you know where
Star Wars people.
Star Wars people?
Yeah.
Those are the bad guys?
Yeah.
Can I tell you the bad guy's name?
Yeah.
This is the guy, Joseph Kony.
He's the bad guy?
Yeah. Who's this?
Jacob.
Joseph Kony, he has an army, okay? And what he does is he takes children from their parents and he gives them a gun to shoot and he makes them shoot and kill other people.
But they're not going to do what he says because they're nice guys, right?
Yeah, they don't want to do what he says, but he forces them to do bad things. What do you think about that?
Sad.
I couldn't explain to Gavin the details of what Joseph Kony really does. Because the truth is, Kony abducts kids just like Gavin. For 26 years, Kony has been kidnapping children into his rebel group, the LRA. Turning the girls into sex slaves. And the boys into child soldiers. He makes them mutilate people's faces. And he forces them to kill their own parents. And this is not just a few children. It's been over 30,000 of them. And Jacob was one of those children. As if Kony's crimes aren't bad enough, he is not fighting for any cause, but only to maintain his power. He is not supported by anyone, and he has repeatedly used peace talks to rearm and murder again and again.
Kony, different times, proposed peace and then just regain strength and attack.
This is the head prosecutor for the International Criminal Court. In 2002, when the court was started, their job was to find and demand the arrest of the world's worst criminals. Although there are a lot of warlords, murderers, and dictators in the world, the perversity of Kony's crimes made him first on the court's list.
Kony is the first guy indicted by the ICC. But the crimes basically are these, are crimes against humanity and war crimes committed against the civilian population, including murder, sexual slavery, rapes, abductions, we need to plan how to arrest Connie. Start to plan and start to be serious. In fact, the only way to stop Connie is showing him, guy, we're going to arrest you.
What do you think we should do about it?
We should stop him.
The criminal here is Connie. Stop him and then solve all the problems.
We should stop who?
Him.
It's obvious that Connie should be stopped. The problem is 99% of the planet doesn't know who he is. If they knew, Connie would have been stopped long ago.
Let the world, let the international community take justice to him there. Follow him wherever he is. First, to rescue our children. And secondly, to deliver the justice.
We are determined to cooperate with any friend of Uganda to ensure that this mindless killing and slaughter is ended.
When my friends and I came home from Uganda, we thought that if the government knew, they would do something to stop him. But everyone in Washington we talked to said there is no way the United States will ever get involved in a conflict where our national security or financial interests aren't at stake.
No administration, Republican, Democrat, Obama, Bush, Clinton, doesn't matter, would do enough because it's simply not an important enough issue on the radar screen of American foreign policy.
Since the government said it was impossible, we didn't know what else to do but tell everyone we could about Jacob and the Invisible Children.
Let's show this movie to as many people as possible in such a way that we can't be ignored.
And when we did, people were shocked, and their awareness turned into action. We started something, a community.
I have friends that have been living in this conflict their entire life. Fight for that, because that is what is going to change this world, and that is what defines us.
We got creative, and we got loud.
It's not over! It's not over! It's not over!
And as the LRA began to move into other countries, Jacob and other Ugandans came to the U.S. to speak on behalf of all people suffering because of Kony. Even though Uganda was relatively safe, they felt compelled to tell the world that Kony was still out there and had to be stopped.
I'm here so proud advocating for the people who are back at home. And this change we're going to make is going to last forever.
We built a community around the idea that where you live shouldn't determine whether you live. We were committed to stop Kony and rebuild what he had destroyed. And because we couldn't wait for institutions or governments to step in, we did it ourselves with our time, talent, and money. So we rebuilt schools.
The best you can offer a child is by letting them be independent, and that was providing education.
We created jobs.
I have seen the lives of those who have been hopeless. Now they have hope.
And we built an early warning radio network on the front line of the war to protect villages from rebel attacks.
To update real time what's happening on a war zone 8,000 miles away.
All of this was funded by an army of young people who put their money toward their belief in the value of all human life. They gave a few dollars a month of what little they had to a program called TRY and proved that a bunch of littles could make a big difference. And as a result, the unseen became visible.
Talk to people from Mexico, from Canada, from every other state that I can think of. We're all doing this for the exact same reason, and we're all coming from completely different places. This is what the world should be like.
So with hundreds of thousands of people with us, we went back to Washington, D.C., and we met with congressmen and senators one by one on both sides, Republicans, Democrats, and they all agreed with us. Joseph Kony's crimes had to be stopped.
Of all the problems that are out there, none is more severe than one that mutilates and takes the lives of little kids.
These young members of the Invisible Children Organization know that no child should live in fear of being abducted or killed.
So they were determined to become their voice. They realized that these African children and families were invisible to Washington policymakers, so they decided to make them visible.
And what I was told would never happen suddenly became possible.
In furtherance of the Congress's stated policy, I have authorized a small number of U.S. forces to deploy to Central Africa to provide assistance to regional forces that are working toward the removal of Joseph Kony from the battlefield. Sincerely, Barack Obama.
The surprise announcement came in a letter from the White House. The U.S. president's decision commits U.S. troops to help.
Through advice and assistance, not putting Americans into combat, to help the countries of the region end this threat once and for all, then that was a worthwhile investment.
We used to think we could not do it, and now when I see we can do it, I am overwhelmed.
After 8 years of work, the government finally heard us. And in October of 2011, 100 American advisors were sent into Central Africa to assist the Ugandan army in arresting Kony and stopping the LRA. It was the first time in history that the United States took that kind of action because the people demanded it. Not for self-defense, but because it was right. We've come so far, but Kony is still out there. He's recently changed his tactics, making it even more difficult to capture him. And international support could be removed at any time.
If we take the pressure off, if we're not successful, he is going to be growing his numbers. People forget. And you got to remind him, and it takes numbers to remind him. And if interest wanes, then it'll go away. And I'd end up standing out there alone trying to do something to support completing the mission. It's got to be 2012.
It's not bad for the youth. It's bad for the world if we fail. It's not important just for Ugandan people. It's important for everyone.
It's hard to look back on some parts of human history, because when we heard about injustice, we cared, but we didn't know what to do. Too often, we did nothing. But if we're going to change that, we have to start somewhere. So we're starting here with Joseph Kony, because now we know what to do. Here it is. Ready? In order for Kony to be arrested this year, the Ugandan military has to find him. In order to find him, they need the technology and training to track him in the vast jungle. That's where the American advisors come in. But in order for the American advisors to be there, the U.S. government has to deploy them. They've done that, but if the government doesn't believe the people care about arresting Kony, the mission will be canceled. In order for the people to care, they have to know. And they will only know if Kony's name is everywhere. This is the dream. Kony arrested for all the world to see. And the abducted children returned home.
Here's the biggest problem. You want to know what it is?
Yeah.
Nobody knows who he is.
But I know. But I know who he is because I see him on this picture right now.
He's not famous. He's invisible. Joseph Kony's invisible.
Here is how we're going to make him visible. We are going to make Joseph Kony a household name, not to celebrate him, but to bring his crimes to the light. And we are starting this year, 2012. We are targeting 20 culture makers and 12 policymakers to use their power for good. Let's start with the 20 culture makers. Celebrities, athletes, and billionaires have a loud voice, and what they talk about spreads instantly.
I'd like indicted war criminals to enjoy the same level of celebrity as me. That seems fair. That's our objective, is to just shine a light on it.
If our goal is to get Kony's name known, the known should join us. We are targeting 20 of the most diverse and influential culture makers to speak out about Kony and make him famous.
Oprah.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Ryan Seacrest.
Bono.
Then we're going after policymakers, the ones that have the authority to see Kony captured. They decide if the advisors stay or leave. So we need to remind them that in this election year of fighting and name-calling, no matter what side you're on, this is something we can all agree on.
If a senator or congressman notices 25 phone calls on any issue, on any given day, it is noted.
When citizens, by the hundreds of thousands, start demanding that our government do something, suddenly it becomes in the national interest of the United States government to respond to this problem.
We've identified the 12 policymakers that could change the game regarding Kony, so we're targeting them. On our website, we've made it easy to write them directly, call them, meet with them, and get their attention. If my son were kidnapped and forced to kill, it would be all over the news. So we are making Kony world news by redefining the propaganda we see all day, every day, that dictates who and what we pay attention to.
A lot of people feel powerless to communicate their ideas. They think that, okay, you know, I'm not a corporation, I don't own my own magazine or news station, I just don't have any say. But seeing what I've done, I think it's empowered a lot of people to realize that one individual can make an impact. And I actually want to demystify and say, here are these really simple tools, go out and rock it.
And that's just what we intend to do. Our goal is to change the conversation of our culture and get people to ask, who is Joseph Kony? We have printed hundreds of thousands of posters, stickers, yard signs, and flyers that are right now, today, being put up in major cities all over the world. We have thousands of Kony 2012 bracelets that we want everyone to wear this year only. Each bracelet has a unique ID number. Input that number and you enter the mission to make Kony famous. You can geotag your posters and track your impact in real time. Everything you need is in a box called the Action Kit. It has two bracelets, one for you and one to give away. And if you want to help fund our life-saving programs, donate a few dollars a month through Try, and you can have the Action Kit for free. Start making Kony famous today. But all of these efforts will culminate on one day, April 20th, when we cover the night. This is the day when we will meet at sundown and blanket every street in every city till the sun comes up. We will be smart and we will be thorough. The rest of the world will go to bed Friday night and wake up to hundreds of thousands of posters demanding justice on every corner. It's always been that the decisions made by the few, with the money and the power, dictated the priorities of their government and the stories in the media. They determined the lives and the opportunities of their citizens. But now there is something bigger than that. The people of the world see each other and can protect each other. It's turning the system upside down, and it changes everything.
We are living in a new world, Facebook world, in which 750 million people share ideas not thinking in borders. It's a global community bigger than US. Joseph Kony was committing crimes for 20 years, and no one cared. We care.
We have reached a crucial time in history where what we do or don't do right now will affect every generation to come. Arresting Joseph Kony will prove that the world we live in has new rules, that the technology that has brought our planet together is allowing us to respond to the problems of our friends.
When it ends finally by bringing justice, it should be celebrated like worldwide.
We are not just studying human history, we are shaping it. At the end of my life, I want to say that the world we've left behind is one that Gavin can be proud of, a place that doesn't allow Joseph Konys and child soldiers, a place where children, no matter where they live, have a childhood free from fear.
I'm gonna be like you, Dad.
When you grow up?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm gonna come with you to Africa.
The better world we want is coming. It's just waiting for us to stop at nothing.
Thank you so much for having us here today. My name is Agnes Aromaraj. I come from Northern Uganda, and I'm a scholarship beneficiary of Invisible Children. This is my second time in the U.S. I was here last fall, and I toured Deep South. And chicken fingers and sweet tea is my favorite. Yeah, so just like you've been watching in this video of Kony 2012, life was really hard for the people in Northern Uganda under Kony's activity. A lot of people were forced to leave their homes and go to certain displacement camps where the condition of life was very, very hard. And very many kids were not able to go to school because their schools were closed down. And the few schools available were offering very low quality education, and that really lowered the standard of education in Northern Uganda. And people lived in total fear and pain, especially the kids. Fear of being abducted to become one of the rebel armies. And pain of losing their loved ones every single day that passes by. I'm one of the people who were directly affected by this war. First of all, I was born when this war was already going on. So I lived through the war almost all my life. And it was really hard for me because I remember when I was only 5 years old, I would be forced to go sleep in the jungle every night. And that was because my parents were trying to help me avoid being abducted to become one of the rebel armies or even killed. And it was really hard for me in the jungle because I would be so cold in the night since it would even rain on me like every time it rains. And I would be so scared being a child alone in the jungle, scared of the wild animals like snakes, scared of the darkness, and just scared of everything. And I would wonder every night whether I would make it until the next day, because there became a time when the rebels began even searching in the nearby bushes for people. When they come to attack homes and they don't find people at home, they go to the extent of searching in the nearby bushes. And so even in the bush, you're not safe. And you wonder whether you will make it until the next day when something has not happened to you. And it wasn't easy. I was a school-going child at one point. I had all the homeworks and assignments to do from school, but I couldn't do all that because I could not study from the jungle. Education was really hard for me. I almost gave up. A lot of times I felt like I couldn't continue anymore because even making it to school was hard. I would walk to school, and I really thank God that He gave me the grace to push on, and I had to push on. I have a heart it was for me. And right now as I speak, I'm glad that Northern Uganda is in relative peace. People have moved back to their villages and they're carrying on with their economic activities. And there is now economic growth and development in Northern Uganda. And the kids have also gone back to school because the schools are now being rebuilt, the libraries, the laboratories, and the classrooms and everything are being put in place. And so there is a very great improvement in the level of education in Northern Uganda now. And I also, by the grace of God, graduated from college this end January with a bachelor's degree in business administration. My major was accounting. And I'm really, really grateful to God for bringing Invisible Children into my life at the time when I really needed someone to help me out because I had lost all the hopes that I had in life and I thought I was going to live a miserable life for the rest of my life. And that was the time when Invisible Children stepped in and they supported me at school. And I'm so, so grateful to Invisible Children for what they've done in my life and for what they're still doing for other people who are like me. I'm here today. It's not about me anymore. It's not about the people in Northern Uganda. But I'm here because someone else is still going through the same things that me and other people in Northern Uganda went through. As I said earlier on, the LRA left Northern Uganda, but they moved to the neighboring countries of Central African Republic and DR Congo. And the same atrocities that they were committing in Northern Uganda, they're still continuing to do in these places. So thousands of people are still being terrorized day and night. And some child in this place, just like me, does not even have any hope of living until the next day. And I know that it's something very hard and it's something really sad. And it's such a painful experience. And we believe that this can be brought to an end. We believe that this is the year that Central Africa will attain total peace. But we can only do this by working together. And that is why we are here inviting you guys to stand with us, to stand with the Invisible Children. So if you agree with us today that this war has to come to an end, that Joseph Kony and his rebel commanders and what they're doing is really bad and it has to stop, then get on board today by signing the red cards that you're having, those red cards on your seats, written on Kony 2012. Those cards are really, really important because they're going to help alert your congressional representatives that you care about what is happening and you support the effort to stop it. I know that peace is worth fighting for, and we, as the people here, it's our individual responsibility to fight for the people who are not able to fight for themselves. So let's join hands together and bring peace to the suffering communities of Central Africa and give the people in this place the opportunity to live a life that every human being on earth deserves to live and bring this man, Joseph Kony, to face justice for all the atrocities that he has committed on the innocent population of Central Africa. Thank you so much for your time and attention. That's all I have now. Yeah, my friend Tess is here with me, and with her, we're going to answer any questions that you guys may have. Tess.
Yeah, before we get to that, though, I just have to reiterate, because she amazes me so much. Agnes was here last semester doing the same thing for 5 months. Then she went home to Uganda, graduated, got her college degree, and then came back to do it again because there are still people being affected by this all the time, and she believes that peace needs to be brought to them. So can we please give her another round of applause? Like she said, we'd love to answer any questions you might have. We know that Invisible Children has gotten a lot of attention lately, which has been awesome. And with a lot of attention can come a lot of questions. And we'd love to clear anything up for you or just be able to answer anything about the film or maybe questions for Agnes. So if you have questions, just raise your hand. Yeah, right back here. What school did you learn to speak English?
Oh, that's a really good question. I get it every day. I learned speaking English from school. Uganda was colonized by the British, and so British brought in English, and English is the official language in Uganda, so everyone who goes to school learns how to speak English, and that is why I'm able to speak. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, right here. Yeah, so she asked about Cover the Night, which is April 20th, and it originally started as a night of going out and putting posters up so that when people woke up the next day, Joseph Kony's name would be known. And we've discovered that that's kind of happened a little bit already, and so things are being planned and in progress, and the plans right now are to make sure that there is a gathering in every city. It won't be necessarily facilitated by someone from Invisible Children, but people can come together on their own, and there's a lot of different things in progress for what that's going to look like, and it's going to be a little different, but the same idea of just keeping this awareness spreading. So hopefully there will be a group of people in support that will be coming together to do that. Yeah. There is one for Chattanooga. Check Facebook. Cool. I love that. That's so great. Was there another question back here? Yeah, Invisible Children has done multiple large events throughout their time of existence, and they always pick one of the last weekends in April. And it's been April 25th, April 29th, just these random things, and it just happened to fall on a great night of April 20th being the best time, and to kind of stay with that theme of being at the end of April for people who have been involved. Any other questions? Yeah, right back here.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Invisible Children is helping a lot to rebuild the war-torn zone in Uganda. That's northern Uganda. So they're putting up schools, they're putting kids in school, and they're doing livelihood programs, and they're doing so many great things in northern Uganda. So Invisible Children is mostly doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to see more about the programs we do have going on in northern Uganda, we have a card that kind of talks about them a little bit. So definitely come check that out outside. Yeah, right back in the back there. Yeah, so just want to make sure I'm clear. Your first question was, how did Kony get his ability to do what he's doing? Where has he been funded? Yeah, that is such a great question. So this all started because there was a civil war going on in Uganda, and the South had power over the North, and they were oppressing the North. And Joseph Kony was from the North, and he wanted to overthrow the government and bring more power to the people in the North and bring equality. And so it was a revolutionary movement, and people were supporting him at first because they wanted that as well. It was when he started abducting children to fill his ranks and start forming this group that he lost total support and all legitimacy, and started just kind of going on a power trip of needing to gain more strength because he didn't have support. And there was at some point that the Sudanese government funded and gave supplies to his group for various reasons, but that has been cut off, and he's no longer supported by any outside party. He has no legitimacy at all. He's simply living off of the power that he has to attack people and loot supplies and things like that, and use the people who are in his forces to support him. Your other question was now the tactics. That report came in December. It's very new. If you guys don't remember, it says there was a 14-year-old boy who came out of the LRA and said that Joseph Kony knows about the U.S. pursuing him and is going to change his tactics. The thing is, we don't know what that change looks like. That was so recent, and that's something that, you know, we haven't been in contact with, you know, what he's doing, and that's something we want to make sure isn't turning into more violence. That's what we're, you know, our biggest worry is that him changing his tactics could turn into more violence. That's why we want this to stop as soon as possible, which is right now, 2012, as soon as it can be. And that's why we're in such support of people coming together to make sure that all action is taken to bring a peaceful end to this once and for all and not let it go on any longer. Thank you guys for those questions. That's all the time I think we have for now. If you have more, please come talk to us out there. We'd love to answer them for you and just talk with you all. I know that Jesus has a plan and he has a dream for a revolution in the way that we as people respond to our brothers and sisters that are in the crisis of injustice in this world. And he wants to see us make it a priority to stand up and take action for them no matter where they are. And what I personally love about Invisible Children is that it has given me the opportunity to do that, and I know it can do the same for everyone, and that's why we're here with you, is to share the opportunity with you. The first thing that you can do is keep sharing this story. It has gotten a lot of momentum, over 100 million views online, but there are still so many people that don't know about it. And without awareness, we all know there can't be action. And that's where we all come in to keep spreading it and helping people get involved. The second way is that you can engage your policymakers. We've seen so many people come on board. There's a resolution that has been brought into legislation or into Congress, and there's been 67 co-sponsors, which is amazing. But we want to make sure that your local leaders are getting involved and getting on board as well. So if you can call them, email them, even go and have face-to-face meetings with them and just let them know that you support this and you want to see them on board, or if they are on board, just thank them and encourage them to continue moving forward with it. That would be so important for this. The other thing is to dig deeper. With things like this are a lot of questions. This is a 26-year-long conflict. There's a lot of complexity, and there's no way we can fit that into 30 minutes, and that's where we come in to dig deeper. If you go to invisiblechildren.com, you can get so much more information. That way, when you're sharing the story and people are asking you questions, you can spread that knowledge onto them. So thank you guys again so much for having us here with you today. If you want to get more involved, come talk to us at our booth in the hallway. We'd love to chat with you. Also, you have those two cards. She talked about the red one that you can sign, which is going to go to your local representatives and show how many people support bringing this issue to an end. There's also the blue one, and that's for our Try program. You might have seen that in the film. That's a simple monthly donation where you pick the price, whatever you feel like you'll be able to give each month, to stand with Invisible Children and really just see this movement keep going forward. So if you want to sign up for that, please talk to us again. Bring those out to us. Any cards that you have, even if they're blank, that's okay. Just bring them to us. We'd love to recycle and then take the ones that you have filled out as well. In whatever way you guys feel like you can get involved, please join us today. We truly believe that the time is now for us all to come together and seek justice for those who cannot seek it themselves, and really just fight together this evil that may bring this injustice into our world and bring the peace that we believe God has really created us to live in. So thank you all again so much, and we can't wait to meet you out there.
Thank you.
you for coming and sharing with us. I'm a firm believer there is nothing more important than sharing the gospel around the world, but there are things that are happening in the world that we can't even get the gospel to people unless we help rescue them out of the horror that they're living in. And this is an easy way to get involved. This is a great opportunity that's already happening. And I hope there are two things will happen today. One is I hope that you'll recognize what can happen if you dream about changing the world. And three guys with a camera are changing the world. And we can come alongside. That's the second thing I hope that will happen today, is that you will look for an opportunity to get involved. If you would like to donate towards Invisible Children, normally we would say you could donate through Journey, and you can, but they are set up with everything that they need right outside these doors, and you can just, if you would like to get involved financially or with one of the programs they just mentioned, you can do that with them right outside the door. We're going to take up our offering in just a minute. If you would like to donate through Journey, then we'll pass that along, but that will just, if you want to go straight through them, then that will get you connected with all of their resources. Let's also be praying for this team. They're traveling. As many of you have been watching the news, this is not an easy road changing the world. The primary filmmaker that you've seen today is going through some health struggles, just the pressure and everything that's happening. So what I want to do is I just want to take a few minutes for us as a community to pray for them. Because they are going out, and there is going to be spiritual warfare all along the way. So let's pray for them together. And I hope that you guys are some of the most loving people I know. Just talk with them, encourage them. Just take a chance to do that today, and stop by their booth and see their things as well. Next week, we've got someone really special to introduce to you. We've been praying for a while now about student ministry at Journey, for those that are coming up, for those students that are involved, and for students in our city. And next week, I'm going to be introducing a young couple to you. Some of you know, but they are coming back to Journey. They've been a part of Journey. They're coming back to Journey to begin starting a student ministry in the next few months with us. Their names are David and Stephanie Henderson. And they're going to be with us. They're kind of finishing out their responsibilities where they are. And so they're coming in with very little in place. Really, well, nothing in place. So we're going to be praying for them. But they are two people that are very special to Deidre and I. They're very special to some of you that know them. And as far as someone who has heart and cares and is seeking God to influence their ministry and to help kids, I don't know anybody with as big a heart as David and Stephanie. So they're going to be here next week, and I'm going to introduce you to them. So I hope that you'll be here, and you'll also be inviting people for our Easter service. We're going to be starting a new series called In the Flesh. We're going to be looking at what did Jesus do in the flesh, and how do we follow his example as his disciples. So it's going to be a great day of worship and of sharing our Christ with each other. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for this team. I know they're probably out there, but please stop by and just give them an encouraging word. And any ways that you would like to get involved, we fully support that. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for Agnes, that she is willing to share her life to help others. I thank you for the testimony that she's given us of a time in her life where she had to run, and now a time where she gets to help find others to come alongside so children don't have to. Father, I pray that we would not be so comfortable, and we would not be so complacent within the lives that we lead without fear that they have. I pray that we would not become so comfortable that we no longer reach out to those in need. And God, I just echo the words of Christ and echo the words of the prophet Isaiah, and that you came to set the captives free and to set the oppressed free. And Father, I pray that you would make this happen in this year, just as they are working to do. I pray that you would be at work so that evil could be eradicated from our world. And while we know that can't possibly happen fully until you return, I pray that these children in Central Africa will experience freedom from that now and not later. And so God, I pray that you would just move every person in this room to act in the way that you would have them act, to give in the way that you would have them to give. And Father, you would help us to be obedient, to also be representatives of the one who brings freedom to those who do wish they could just die rather than continue in this world. And God, we also thank you for your Son that gives us freedom. that no matter what does happen in this world, when it does pass away, we will know you, we will be with you, and we will experience true freedom from all oppression and captivity. So, Father, be with this team as they go. Just give them good health. Father, I pray that you would help them to inspire others. Father, I pray that you would also be with Jason Russell and his family as they're watching him go through such a difficult time as all of this has taken a toll on him. And I pray that you would bring him back to health and give him new energy. Father, I pray that you would continue to keep his vision fresh and sharp and alive. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who does bring healing to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name.